Welcome to New Covenant Church of the Apostles Wednesday Word this December the 14th, 2022. We are 11 days away from Christmas. And this Christmas, we're going to have an online event that will be happening. It's going to be titled The 12 Days of Christmas. It's going to be a special message. The outline is, of course, the words of the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. That song was originally intended as a song that communicated Christian truth. To modern ears, is not evident the connection between Lords a-leaping and Maids a-milking in the gospel, but when the song was first composed in the 19th century, those symbols had a very specific meaning. I would encourage you all to tune in for that message. For today's message, we're going to be in Romans chapter 14. We've been talking the last several installments on the law of love. You know, and the law of love can be summed in two great commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And in Romans 12, we talked about using our spiritual gifts to follow the law of love. And then this past Sunday, we talked about how the law of love guides our relationship to civil society, and particularly the civil magistrates. Now today, we're going to talk about the law of love and how it relates to matters of liberty. And so let us go here. Now, what I'm about to say doesn't apply to matters where the scripture speaks explicitly. But there are many areas where the Bible might not speak explicitly, but it will give us general guidelines that was intended to be applied as we are led by the Holy Spirit. And so, in the first five verses here, in the first verse, Paul lays out the application here. It says, he that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. So you might ask, what are doubtful disputations? These are our areas where reasonable believers might disagree. And some of that has to do with the fact that there are questions that arise that the scripture doesn't explicitly, they say, thou shalt not. A perfect example would be the vaccination for COVID that's been come up. There is no text of the scripture that says, thou shalt be vaccinated for COVID. The Bible does give us general principles to help us navigate things that were to happen that was not in view of the apostles and prophets who wrote the scripture. And it's through the application of these general principles that allows us to understand how the word of God applies to modern issues that the apostles would not have known about. But in applying things by inference, sometimes we might run into areas where genuine believers might disagree. And the Paul's label that here, doubtful disputations. Verse 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Now verse 2 is referring to an area of that was relevant at the time this was written. And one of the issues that the early church debated was meat that was sold in the marketplace. Should you eat it or should you not? And one of the practices that they would do in the pagan world and the pagan religions is that they would have their sacrifices. The meat would be offered in sacrifice, but there would be meat that would not be consumed in the sacrifice that was left over. It would go out to the marketplace. And so you might have John, for example, buy meat in the marketplace, and Joe realizes that meat came from one of the pagan temples, and he's hot and bothered that John's buying meat that was ate in sacrifice. And so in verse 3, it's telling the mature person, let him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. For who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So he brings up another issue, and that was, do we worship on the Sabbath? Do we worship on Sunday? Is every day? I want to let you in on something, folks. God made every day holy. There's nothing special about worshiping on Saturday or Sunday, but if it's special to you, fine. But what he's saying here is not to stand in judgment over someone else who may have a different way of worshiping. If that person holds to the gospel, if that person holds to the crucifixion of Jesus as the only way that we're saved from our sins, and he holds to the resurrection, if he holds to the fundamental doctrines of the faith, don't reject him because he decides to worship God on a different day of the week. Don't split your church over whether you have a blue-collared hymnal or a red-collared hymnal. There was a church in New York a number of years back that they had a split in the church, because in the minds of these people in the church, the color of the hymnal wasn't essential of the faith. Paul's saying, no, don't be doing that kind of nonsense. That's nonsense. In modern day issues, one issue might be the COVID vaccine. There are those who would judge someone over whether they take it or whether they don't. I, for one, have decided not to get the COVID vaccine. But will I judge that person who does? No. What I have been judgmental about is the mandates and a narrative that assumes that the government is the arbiter of truth, a narrative that's going to lead straight to the Antichrist and the mark of the beast. But not so much on what individuals do. Genuine believers live to the Lord. And so Paul, moving on, he's gone through two or three issues that the church of his day debated. Issues that did not relate to the fundamental teachings of the gospel. People who were united over the cross. They were united over the need to repent. They were united over the necessity of faith. They were united over the resurrection, but they disagreed over whether to eat meat in the marketplace that was previously used in the temple. And so he's saying, don't judge. He starts out with a negative. Don't judge people on this. Who are you to judge another man's servant? They're going to stand before God, and if they committed idolatry in that thing, God's going to judge them. And so then he's shifting to the positive here. And he wants us to know that genuine believers live to the Lord. He says, he that regardeth a day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord does not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. So here Paul is wanting to steer our attention on what's really important. Now, if somebody denies the resurrection of Jesus Christ, none of this here is applied. Paul's not addressing how to deal with those people who are denying the fundamentals of the faith. Those who deny that Jesus lived a sinless life, he's not addressing those people. He's addressing people who are united on those fundamental issues upon which we must agree. He's addressing issues that don't relate to fundamentals, issues that are not essential to the faith. He's addressing the shift on what's important. And what he's saying here, folks, is if your brothers agree with you on the fundamentals of the gospel, don't judge him based on his vaccination status. Don't judge him based on what clothing he wears, whether he shows up at church in the finest or whether he shows up in rags. Don't judge him based on his social economic status. Don't judge someone based on whether they wear a beard or whether they're clean shaven. Don't dress him on whether he looks like Santa Claus or whether he looks like he came out of the Dutch oven. We're not to judge people based on those issues. We're not to make judgments based on race. We're not to make judgments of people based on social economic status. If they believe the fundamentals of the faith, they are our brother and our sister in the Lord. And of course, we shall all stand before Christ's judgment. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. In other words, he's saying on these issues at which the Bible doesn't speak, let God do his job. Let God enter into judgment on someone. Another way of summarizing this is that in matters where Scripture does not give explicit commands, we are to practice the law of love under the leading of the Holy Spirit and exercise charitable love towards other decision-making processes. So in these matters here, we don't want to cause our brother to stumble. We don't want these issues here to be issues in which people stumble. In verse 13, let us not therefore judge anyone anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion of fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything unclean, to him it is unclean. I would like to just give a brief commentary here. Every Christmas time, we have a big debate in the body of Christ. We have some who are enthusiastic about Christmas, and we have others that will say Christmas is pagan. And they will point to things that do have pagan roots. I've got beside me a Christmas tree here. If you go back thousands of years, at one point they had pagan festivals that used trees that once called the Yule log, and it was a pagan ceremony that involved that. And so what these people will say is because this symbol 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago meant this, that the people that are doing it today are committing idolatry. Paul would disagree. The Holy Spirit here would disagree. It says there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So people that get hung up over that, and here's an irony, while they're intending to be free from paganism, that can actually set up someone to stumble. So I love my Christmas tree. I'm not committing idolatry with the tree. The Christmas tree has the meaning that I've attached to it today. In matters of language, there's a theory called the conventional theory, which means that words have meaning that the communicators agree on. The author will attach a meaning to a word and put it in a text with the understanding that his listeners would know what the author meant by that meaning. Now, if you assume that the symbols of words have some kind of magical meaning. That this word means this, and it doesn't matter what people mean by it, that that meaning is suddenly imposed upon you. In other words, with the Christmas tree over here, someone that would argue it's a pagan would say that that pagan meaning is imposed upon me regardless of my intentions with it. You could actually run a risk of using language in a way that runs to the occult. And so we're not to stumble over that. Resorting to such legalism can cause people to stumble. On the other side of that, if I'm going into an area, if I'm preaching a gospel and we run into an area where everyone uses a tree and it has a pagan meanings, I might think twice. The purpose here is to use the law of love and don't do things that are going to cause people to stumble, that are going to cause people to be offended. Don't, as he says later on in this passage, don't destroy your brother with your meat. So if you're eating that meat and you're mature and you realize it's just meat, but your brother's offended, you might, at least for that meal, forsake that meat. You might do something different for that meal if that's going to cause your brother to stumble. The point is, in these matters of freedom, we are to exercise our freedom in a way that loves our brother, that practices the law of love, that has a net positive benefit for the church. So that our church doesn't become the church that splits over the color of a hymnal. Or it doesn't become the church that splits over who you might vote for. Or the church that splits because some people like to wear suits and to church and dresses, and other people come in blue jeans. Something happened with this. Verses 18 to 23, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for our peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroys not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for them that eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh or to drink wine or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So I would like to just conclude here by saying, let us practice the law of love in everything we do. Let us walk in love towards our brothers. And summarizing the law of love, we are to practice our spiritual gifts in love. We are to allow the law of love to constrain how we act as citizens in the world, in our outreach. And we encounter disagreements that don't involve fundamental doctrinal or moral points. Let us practice charity to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Charity to those that we disagree. And let's not, in the name of freedom, do things that might destroy our brother. But to use our freedom to serve our brothers and sisters. Use our freedom to show the love of God to a lost, hurting, dying world. And in the New Testament, love and charity was even shown to our enemies. When it came time to be persecuted, when it came time to be put to death for the gospel, we see in the biblical record, people was more concerned about the welfare of their persecutors than their own lives. So let us walk in love in all that we do. Let us practice the law of love, that loves the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul and all of our mind and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. Heavenly Father, we come right now. We ask you, Father, for you to just give us an anointing. Move upon us the love. Bring us under conviction when we fall short in those areas. And back to the law of love. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.